Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we help you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well.
Today's podcast is brought to you by 22-6 Parenting, an online community designed to help you disciple your kids to live, love, and lead well. Check it out at 226parenting.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. We are starting this podcast this week by honoring those as we approach Memorial Day weekend here, honoring those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And I've been privileged to be able to speak in to serve other military families, but also give back. I receive from military families so much as they have poured into me as well. And so I just want to start by, for Christy and I, giving thanks for those who are serving, those veterans like my grandfather who served two tours in Vietnam as a senior Army aviator, and for this weekend as we honor those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice on Memorial Day. We want to celebrate those folks, and we do that today by having special guests, Wes and Wanda Crawford. Wes is a military analyst, and Wanda is a social worker for special operations, and it is a joy and an honor to have you guys on the podcast. I want to begin by simply asking you to tell us how you guys met.
Well, honey, I'm going to let you start off with that, and I'm going to end. I'm going to close it.
You're always the gentleman, right?
Yeah.
So Wes and I have been married for about 32 years.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on 33
in June.
Congratulations.
And we met when I was a sophomore at Fayetteville State University, because we're living here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And Wes and some of his buddies were roaming the college campus looking for the honeys, as I like to say. and he caught my eye, or should I say I caught his eye. And we went out for pizza and
a movie.
Exactly. And get this, the movie he took me to see was Rambo, starring Sylvester Stallone.
This is perfect.
It's just our meeting was just by chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, so often, you know, good things come to those who wait, but I think it was a blessing as well for her and I to meet like we did, because I don't think I could have planned it better to have a spouse as Wanda. Just been blessed in so many ways, because being a military spouse is it's challenging, mm-hmm. to say the least. Mm-hmm. And being in special operation, I don't think Josh is familiar with, but we have this thing called selection and assessment. Are you familiar with that, Josh?
A little bit, but not as much as you are going to explain it, if you will.
the selection and assessment piece, where soldiers want to be special operations, so they have to go through this training evaluation of their physical fitness as well as their mental capability. And I would have to say Mrs. Crawford's passed with shining colors, because, it takes a special breed of spouse to be married to a special operations service member, because it is challenging. It is it can be somewhat isolating, and you have to have the mental and spiritual stamina to endure that type of lifestyle and support a spouse in that type of military career.
And so, tell us a little bit about that in terms of you guys getting married and living that career. What were some of the challenges that you faced?
I think you don't know what you don't know.
Hmm.
And when Wes and I decided that, you know, marriage was the course of action for us very young, we kind of dove in, I would say, head first, and not really having a good, solid understanding of what that was going to look like. Also, as Wes was talking about the assessment and selection piece and his drive and goals of becoming a member of the special operations community, I had no idea what that looked like. I don't come from a military family. And so my thoughts were, as, you know, as most women, and I'm generalizing here, think when they're exchanging those vows, is that, you know what, I hear him, but it's going to be different. It's going to change. Not going to be what he's saying, because he loves me more than what is coming out of his mouth. And so we stick with that. But I think from, and I'm not a guy, but I see couples and in my job every single day. And what I hear often is, you know, men think differently from women. And I'm thinking this is going to be one way. Wes is thinking it's going to be another way. And it really ends up the way he's thinking in his head, that he wanted to, he was committed to the Army. He told me so. He wanted to do all of these really risky types of things in the military that I didn't fully understand. We were married for about 6 years before we had Amber. And all of those 6 years, I don't know how many times you were gone, honey.
Oh, several times, man.
You know, including the training. And then even when, you know, he was here at home, there was still lots and lots of training. And then the deployments, although in our community, they may not be a year, but it could feel like a year, even if it's 90 to 120 days. And, you know, and Wes and I are old couples, so, you know, back in the day, we didn't have all this access to what, honey?
The internet, and yeah. It was also personal, where I would have to, when I would write letters.
Yeah, those were nice.
And and Desert Storm, you know, not only write letters, but I would send recorded tapes of my voice talking and sharing, and send that over the mail. So that's how it was once upon a time.
Yeah, when's the last time I got one of those?
I love that.
You know, you work with families now as a social worker, military families, because this is one of the biggest things I hear is the struggle between what it looks like prior to deployment and then that reintegration back into the home, especially when mom has taken over the role of disciplinarian and cook and you know, mowing the grass. I mean, literally everything. And then all of a sudden, now dad's coming back from being deployed, and he's going, how do I fit? Can you kind of speak to that issue, both, I think, personally, and then also, you know, what you guys see today as you help other families?
Juan and I have been very fortunate because, like I said, you know, our military career as a couple, I mean, it's over 20-plus years, and I think through that experience, you know, I learned when you speak about the integration pieces, where you have to, service member have to ease back into it, because the spouse's husband or wife who's at home, they're manning the charge. They're handling the business, and you coming back from a deployment or training event and coming back in, you just can't just say, okay, now I have the rein again. You got to, you know, ease back into it. Or you may find that, hey, you both have different roles on how you support each other. I was very fortunate with Wanda, where she, you know, because I know that some couples, when it comes to that, it's like when one couple leave, everything stops. What was great about Wanda would just run with it. You know, she would just take, I wouldn't have to worry about what was being taken care of at home. So I consider that was a blessing for me as a spouse, because if you have to worry about what's going on at home, how can you focus on your mission?
Yeah, I think the other piece of that is, you know, having that boundary of respect and trust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think oftentimes people get caught up in roles and, you know, identifying particular roles, whether those are male or female roles, whether that's a military or civilian role. And I think what's worked for Wes and me is that understanding that we have one role, and that's to be good role models for our kids, to lead them in the way that we think is best for them in terms of personal development, Christian development, community, citizens development. And sometimes it wasn't equal. You know, young couples thinking that things are going to be equal, that's not normal. That's not natural. That's not the way things go.
No.
Oftentimes it's 90-10, particularly if you're married to a person in the military. And oftentimes, you know, the weight was heavy for me. I always say to people, I was a single parent until Amber was probably around the age of 8, because
wow.
Wes was available. And, you know, a lot of people go, oh, my God, I don't know how you could do it. Yeah, you can do it, because it's what you choose. And I think also, as we look at making sure that our kids understand that, you know, this is the norm. This is what our life is. And it's not to be pitied or felt sorry for, but it's a blessing. It's the greatness of the military family. It's the strength of the military family. And so we just kind of got in and did what we needed to do. If Wes wasn't here, I knew I needed to do it, because ultimately it was my family that was at risk if I didn't do it. You know, and I'm a social worker, and I often say there's no crying in social work. You know, we just get in there and we do it. I think the other piece for me is that I've learned over the years to you know, sprinkle a little self-compassion for me, that I don't have to be all and do all as a military spouse. I can actually say this today doesn't feel that good, and seek out support from other women. I think what helped us was, you know, Wes being on what we call a 12-man detachment, and those other 11 women that were actually experiencing things like me became my family. And so raising our children in that community became a family affair between the organization and your family. So we just made it work. We just made it work.
Mm.
Wow.
I love that. And what you're talking about is it's intentionality and it's choosing, right? It's choosing each other, no matter what's going on around you. You know, how do you, if you could speak to that a little bit, because I know that there's, because we have a lot of listeners who aren't military, and so even speaking to them, because I know I've gained a lot, I've learned a lot from military families, just in terms of resolve, call and resolve. Mm-hmm. Can you guys speak to that a little bit, in terms of even for your own selves, how you guys specifically prioritized one another, no matter what the mission was, no matter what you guys were doing, whether you know, you were serving other people, whether you were deployed. How did you guys prioritize one another in your marriage and make that willful choice?
Well, I guess I could start with that one. Where we, you know, like what we tried to do, I remember my time as a first sergeant, I would, you know, it was like once I came home, although I was on, you know, duty 24/7, I made an effort to that when I got home, unless, now I gave my subordinate leadership instructions, unless, you know, something of prime nature, of a high nature that requires my input, you guys handle it, because I'm at home with the family, and that's my priorities right now. And for the most part, that worked for us. What would you say?
Well, I think from my perspective, I think I just started to understand that the military was your job, and it didn't mean that if you were not home at 6 o'clock with me, that I was second. Mm-hmm. I just knew that, and I had to understand that we just had to grab the time that we grabbed, and we had to preserve it as best as we could, because the military is grueling. And there is a school of thought out there that says, let's get more bullets than we get babies. And that's okay for some people. And I think that goes back to that balance where sometimes it's going to look like that. But I think for Team Crawford, we understand that that doesn't necessarily mean that we're second in Wes's eyes, that we're always first in his heart. And if he had a choice, he would always choose us. And I think that's why we've been married for 32 years, that I just didn't whine and complain about what he needed to do. And we had to just understand as a family, this is what we're doing. I mean, for an example, right now, he's retired and he went right back to work in the special operations community. After he said he was going to retire and he was going to stay home with Amir some, because there's a 13-year age difference between Amber and Amir. Did I get angry? You bet I got angry, because I felt like you know, we've had enough of this man's army, and we needed to do something different in terms of our family. But understand that he needs to have a purpose, and he needs to be involved. He needs to feel like he's continuing to contribute to the fight, so to speak. And so we've just adapted, adjusted, and just made tweaks here and there to make it work for us. It's different in every family. You got to find what works for you. But I think for us, honey, it just really came down to a level of commitment,
mm-hmm.
what we will and what we won't do.
Right.
What do you think?
So, and commitment is everything. Because I've met another friend of ours. Well, I hadn't seen him in several years, but this guy came in the military with me. And he and his wife, they're came up on their 35th wedding anniversary. And we looked at each other and said, man, folks get into their 20s and 30s with marriages. You don't see that too often around here. And when you think about that, I think that boils down to commitment for each other, for their family, for the family, and how you fulfill each other, you know. Because when I think of Wanda, she's my better half. She's my conscience on a lot of things.
Right?
You know.
Well, and speaking to that, I just want to ask this one, because the thing I keep hearing is in military you have to compartmentalize, right? Like,
and
you have to. There's no other choice. But that doesn't. So when you compartmentalize, I mean, the mission and the mission becomes the priority, but that doesn't mean that Wanda was never the priority. Like, she knew deep down that in your heart that you had her heart and she had your heart, and that was core, even though you had to prioritize the mission or you had to prioritize whatever it was you were called to that season of life. There was an underlying sense of, we got each other.
That's it.
Josh, I think about it in terms of, as women, when we have babies, and, you know, oftentimes you hear the husbands start to talk about how, you know, the baby is taking a priority and maybe he's not getting enough time or attention as he's normally accustomed to. Well, as women, you know, we have to take care of those needs of that newborn baby. But when you have a understanding and a solid commitment in terms of your relationship, hubby knows that the baby is not first. Husband is first. But at that particular time, the mission is the baby.
Hmm.
And you have to take care of the baby. And I also think it takes a level of maturity. Which, you know, make no mistake, Wes and I were not mature when we got married at 21 and 23 years old.
No.
And it took time to cultivate that level of maturity and that level of understanding. And by the time we were 26 and 27, we had Amber, and it was almost like, hurry up and get there. You had to learn it. It was difficult getting there, but you had to get there. And then, you know, having Amir when we were 40, you need it to be there. So I think you're right. Compartmentalization doesn't have to be a dirty word. It is a necessary when you have to get things done. And at no point through our journey together did I ever think that, you know, his family wasn't first.
Yeah.
He did what he needed to do.
Wanda, I think that is such a great example, just a parallel to translate into us, especially moms' minds, you know, that are not military, of just what mission first. Because I mean, we understand what that's like when it's screaming infants. I mean, mission first.
and
I want to pivot a little bit and talk about your kids. And so Amber and Amir, you know, because Wanda, you chose to be a military wife, but your kids didn't choose to be military kids. Can you talk a little bit about their experience? And especially with Wes, when you were active duty and maybe gone, maybe more than you'd like, and Wanda as a single mom, what was that like for the kids?
I think it was, as I alluded to earlier, we just tried to make it like our normal battle rhythm that, you know, Dad is serving, and our job is to serve here. And, you know, it's not a pity party. We're not looking for that sympathy vote. it's just our lifestyle that sometimes he's not going to be at, you know, her brownie or Girl Scout event, which he missed a lot. But, you know, when he was able to be there, he took the lead on that. We still have an awesome picture of Wes pinning Amber's brownie pin. And her face is so bright, and she's so happy because her dad was actually there, able to do that. And I stepped back so he could have that moment to pin that brownie. You remember that, honey? To pin that brownie pin. And we
That's
still have
so
that.
Cool.
Yeah, and we still have that picture in our scrapbook. And like I said, there's a 13-year difference between Amber and Amir. All Amber has ever known is the military lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Amber has moved twice, and what we wanted to make sure that she understood was that's just our normal battle rhythm. That's just what you do when your dad serves in the military. Mm-hmm. Now, you fast forward to our son, Amir, 13 years later, he doesn't have that experience. He doesn't know what that's like. So I think in terms of Amber's experience, she wouldn't look at it as anything out of the norm. As a matter of fact, you know, we shared it with you guys before we started to talk that Amber just recently got married to a military member.
Yeah.
And I also mentioned, I don't know how I feel about that because, you know, I know that lifestyle. And, you know, and they're going to have a baby. And so you talk about that whole challenge of being married to a service member, and then you compound that with a little one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's not an easy journey.
No.
Because those separations and that life of unpredictability can be awfully, awfully stressful.
Mm.
So it takes a strong faith. It takes a strong support system. It takes a strong sense of self, I think, to be able to manage and to do what you need to do. You say what, honey?
I would agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and Wanda, as a mama, as Amber's mama, and you're watching her, you know, choose to marry a military, and now she's having a baby, you know, pretty quickly, so it's all hitting her probably very, you know, at the same time. How, as your mama heart, having walked that road already, what advice or what words of wisdom, what counsel are you giving her as she's beginning this?
Well, you know, I tell her that, one, she's blessed because she and Lewis is our son-in-law's name, and they are friends. And, you know, just to watch them together, they laugh, they joke, he is deployed right now. They FaceTime, they're talking every day, and it seems like they don't miss a beat. I think that is critical when you talk about this military journey and how he just seems to get her and understand her. And he's able to kind of soothe that heart when she is all over the place. I think that's key. And we see that with them. From being her mom, my heart aches on one hand because I know that it's not going to be easy. And you don't, you know, we make this mistake of we're not wanting our children to suffer, but suffering is part of life. And I think we make a mistake when we try to buffer that suffering because it's what makes us strong as women and as people, I think. And so I try not to get in the way of her heart aching so much, but privately mine aches with her. But I think as long as Wes and I are able to offer counsel and wisdom to Amber and Lewis, I think they have a chance. And understanding that they're going to make mistakes. One thing that they need to know as a military couple is that you got to have the hard conversations and you're going to fail at some things. And that doesn't mean that you're defeated. I think you just get up and you keep trying. But I think the key there is having just a good, open friendship, which we're blessed that they do. So although Wes and I were not thrilled that she got married so quick and they're starting a family so quick, I think what she's learned from her parents watching us is that sometimes it's not always put together right, but it ends up okay. That makes sense?
Yeah. If there's one simple piece of encouragement that you could give to families today, what would that piece of advice be to young families?
I think for those young wives out there, is be open to the hard conversations. Don't shy away from them. Ask the tough questions of your spouse, your partner, your friend, and trust and listen to what he's saying to you. Don't take it and interpret it to fit your own lens. Be open to it, because trust me, it's gonna save you from a lot of heartburn later on. And always trust that if you put God first, he's going to take care of the rest for you. You got to kind of die to self a little bit in terms of your relationship with Christ. You also have to die to self regarding your relationship to your partner. So I would say be open to the hard conversations.
I love that.
Yeah. And I guess the other piece I would say is, you know, I know for the men, I would say, you know, and open your heart to your spouse. You know, let her, you know, let her see your tenderness, those things. You know, because I know Wanda, she has my best, she wishes the best for me. She wants, you know, and when she sees me feeling challenged by a situation, she gives me that extra to keep going, you know. And I think that makes all the difference for me. And I think for the husbands, just that, hey, just be listening, you know, listening with your heart, you know, and know that your spouse, or you're in it together, you know. And I like to say for us, like, one team, one fight, you know. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I love the Team Crawford.
I love that, too.
I caught that earlier, and I thought we need to hone in on that idea of each of us being a team in our family and Team Crawford. And, you know, I think the thing that I want to just hone in on here and take in just some of the takeaways for me, one of those key takeaways is this whole idea of the heart. You know, Wes, you concluded there with that whole idea of the heart. And Wanda, you said the, you know, having that hard conversation. When we know we have each other's hearts, it doesn't matter whether we're in the military or whether or not, you know, I think of other situations, family situations where it's not military, but the husband or wife, one or the other, is traveling a lot for business and can't be home as often. But that at the end of the day, that heart piece, and we know whose we are, and we know that we have each other. I say whose we are, we're God's first, and then we have each other, and we're a team, and we're going to approach this life as a team, even if that means we have to compartmentalize in our brain sometimes what our mission is. At the end of the day, that heart piece is still there.
You got it.
So thank you guys so much.
And I just want to say to you both, in just such sincerity, thank you for your sacrifice. I know people, I'm sure, thank you for your service, and I feel like that kind of gets thrown around, but I just want to say thank you for being willing to do hard things. Yeah. And I say that to you, Wes, for all the hard things you've had to endure in serving and sacrificing time with your family and with your wife. And for you, Wanda, and sacrificing yourself to support the mission and to raise your kids. Wanda, for you now, as you're serving military families, because that's a hard thing, and you're stepping into the lives of people who are dealing with hard things. So thank you just for being willing to do that. I think too many of us in a culture where we praise easy and happy, and let's all be happy, you are willing to just sit in the trenches with people walking through really hard stuff.
And you do a fantastic job of it. We have...
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Christy.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been an honor for us to be in invited and included in your podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yes, definitely an honor. And thank you again for the privilege of doing that.
The privilege is ours, you guys. Thank you again.
Thanks, guys. For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
We'll see you next week.